Welcome to NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Here are today's top stories. The Supreme Court allows a rule that could dramatically affect asylum seekers to the U.S. The new rule now applying to the whole country. President Trump postpones China tariff hike. China responds with its own goodwill gesture. Hong Kong protest icon challenges police in court. She seeks accountability over privacy breach. The UK government gives an update on whether it will allow China's Huawei into its future 5G network. The Supreme Court yesterday ruled that the Trump administration's policy on asylum seekers can be enforced nationwide. The policy bans migrants from seeking asylum in the U.S. if they have traveled through another country without applying for protection there first.
The Supreme Court on Wednesday ordered that all holds against the implementation of the asylum rule be dropped nationwide. This overturns a lower court's ruling that prevented the rule from taking effect in some states along the southern border. It would also disqualify most migrants who have been applying for asylum at the southern border from getting asylum. It operates under the premise that those seeking protection from persecution based on race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion are safer applying nearby than they are traveling to the United States. President Trump tweeted late Wednesday that the court's ruling was a, quote, big U.S. Supreme Court win for the border, unquote. Under the old rules, almost 90% of those claiming credible fear would pass initial screening, but less than 15% are granted asylum by an immigration judge. For Central Americans, it's less than 10%. The joint action by the Department of Justice and DHS is the latest attempt by the administration to curtail the number of meritless asylum claims. The immigration court backlog is now close to 900,000 cases.
President Trump announced last night that he is postponing a new hike in China tariffs. He said it was a goodwill gesture to China during its national holiday. China responded that Chinese companies were inquiring about prices for U.S. food, signifying a potential thaw in the bitter trade war between the two countries.
Chinese Commerce Ministry spokesman Gao Feng said that possible Chinese purchases of U.S. farm goods included pork and soybeans. We hoped that the two sides will continue to meet each other halfway and take practical actions to create favorable conditions for the consultation. Trump said on Twitter that he was responding to the request of China's vice premier. He said the U.S. will delay an increase in tariffs on $250 billion worth of Chinese goods from October 1st to October 15th. October 1st is the communist regime's 70th anniversary. The postponement came after Trump applauded China's decision to waive import tariffs yesterday on 16 types of U.S. products, including anti-cancer drugs and lubricants. U.S. stocks opened higher on Thursday following Trump's announcement and an interest rate cut by the European Central Bank. Chinese trade deputies are expected to meet with their U.S. counterparts in Washington this month before higher-level meetings in early October.
The Trump administration announcing plans to ban most flavors of e-cigarettes. They hope that this will prevent children from using them and getting the illnesses that potentially result from vaping. NTD's Holly Kellum has the details.
Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office Wednesday, Trump said he was concerned that e-cigarettes had a false reputation as being safe.
Especially vaping as it pertains to innocent children.
Health Secretary Alex Azar said the Food and Drug Administration is moving to ban all flavors except tobacco.
An entire generation of children risk becoming addicted to nicotine because of the attractiveness, appealability, and availability of these vaping products.
He said there are 5 million children using e-cigarettes and 8 million adults. Despite e-cigarettes not being combustible, the Surgeon General warns there are still risks. In an advisory, he said that exposure to the nicotine in e-cigarettes during adolescence can harm the developing brain, and the brain develops into a person's mid-20s. In addition to nicotine, the aerosols in the e-cigarettes can have heavy metals, volatile organic compounds, and fine particles that can get into the lungs. Earlier this month, the governor of Michigan announced that she was moving to ban flavored e-cigarettes in the state after a spate of respiratory illnesses there were thought to be due to vaping. Governor Gretchen Whitmer applauded the White House's move on Wednesday to take action at the federal level. Holly Kellum, NTD News.
A woman who flew in from China and then lied to get into President Trump's Mar-a-Lago club was found guilty of trespassing yesterday. It is unclear why 33-year-old Yujin Zhang wanted to get onto the property, but a broader secretive spying investigation is underway. People falling from buildings, running from gales of dust and debris. For the survivors of 9/11, it is a haunting memory that they have to live with for the rest of their lives. NTD Xu and Rong spoke with survivors still dealing with the trauma.
As I stepped out of the door, it was raining people. People were falling and impacting the ground.
James Cannon was a patrolman from Fire Patrol 3 in Brooklyn. Even though he was off duty that day, he risked his life and ran into the South Tower.
I had to look up when I saw the bodies coming. I had to hold back into the wall. When they'd hit, I'd take another look, more hit. When I had a space, I saw the dots coming. There were people.
The horrific scene is grafted into his memory.
You know, the proximity, and there wasn't many of us alive after it had fallen. And then the horror of trying to find fellas that you knew. And it was just no way to get to them. You can hear their audible alarms. You heard all of the alarms, but you couldn't get to them. It was a horrible, horrible time.
Even though the day left him with damaged vocal cords, trachea, lungs, and broken ribs, he went back to ground zero every day for months.
I don't know how that happened. I don't remember. But, you know, does it change who I am? No. But there's more of an urgency of getting people to get along.
18 years later, he hopes that this piece of history will stay alive through the youth, teaching them that there is evil, but also heroes who risk their lives to save others.
It's just something that I will always, always remember.
Adrian Pierce worked on the 47th floor as a broker trader at Wachovia, now Wells Fargo, in the North Tower when the plane hit.
It hit in the middle, and the blast literally picked up my body, and I went over the wall. And when I landed on top of people that were dead.
Besides having third-degree burns on her back and other injuries that required surgery, she also lost 5 coworkers that day.
It never gets easier. It's still heart-wrenching because you relive this.
Even though the days never seem to get easier, she always reminds herself to be grateful to be alive.
General Motors is recalling nearly 3.5 million pickups and SUVs to fix a brake problem.
The company says there's been more than 100 crashes and 13 injuries related to the issue. Recalled models include the Cadillac Escalade, GMC Yukon, and Sierra. Also, Chevrolet Silverado, Suburban, and Tahoe, all made between 2014 and 2018. GM says the problem is a faulty vacuum pump that may force drivers to put more pressure on the brakes. The vehicle may also need a longer distance to stop, which can increase the risk of crashes. GM says dealers will fix the problem at no charge to customers.
The UK's defense secretary said yesterday that the government will make a decision soon about whether to allow Huawei technology to be used in the UK's future 5G networks.
UK Defense Secretary Ben Wallace said that although the decision would come soon, he could not give a firm date because of the pressing deadlines surrounding Brexit. He also said that China needs to play by the rules if it wants to have access to Western markets. During former Prime Minister Theresa May's tenure, she was reportedly considering allowing Huawei to supply non-essential components for British 5G systems. During a visit to the UK last week, Vice President Mike Pence warned its ally about the threat of China's 5G systems. President Trump also talked to Prime Minister Boris Johnson about it during a G7 meeting in France last month. The U.S. has said it will limit the confidential data it shares with its allies if they use Huawei's technology. The U.S. is concerned that Huawei will be used as a spying mechanism by Beijing.
Governments and businesses around the world should be concerned by Chinese influence that opens them to costly deals, future coercion, loss of technical advantage, or other malicious activity.
Pence signed an agreement to cooperate on 5G with Poland last week. Poland's president said that Polish intelligence had found espionage-like behavior related to Huawei.
There's basically a gradual awakening as to this challenge. And so these things take time. I mean, this is going to be an ongoing competition and an ongoing transition.
Huawei said last week that it has obtained over 50 commercial contracts on 5G globally, and 28 of them are from Europe. Reporting by Kitty Wong, NTD News.
A woman who suffered an eye injury at one of the recent protests in Hong Kong attended a court hearing today to challenge police who accessed her medical records against her will.
Police are accused of shooting the woman in the face with a beanbag round last month. The young woman, known as Miss K, has since become an icon of the protest movement. During the court hearing, Miss K's lawyer argued the police had infringed on her privacy by accessing her medical records without notifying her. He said the police refused to provide a court warrant, which breached Article 35 of the basic law that gives people the right to judicial remedies and to challenge legal proceedings. The judge said the ruling will be announced this week. In addition, a group of medical professionals published a petition in local newspapers, urging Chief Executive Carrie Lam to respond to all of the protesters' demands and blasting police for blocking access to injured protesters. The full-page advertisement, with hundreds of signatures displayed in the background, saying a government response is urgently needed to save Hong Kong. Protesters are demanding police accountability for protesters to stop being called rioters, amnesty for those arrested during the protests, and greater democratic freedom after the controversial extradition bill that started the protests was formally withdrawn.
Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam admitting she has to serve two masters in a private conversation made available almost in full today. Her talk holds hints of what may come in the medium term.
Today, Lam's comments in a business meeting last week were made available in full. Lam said off the record that she would quit if she had a choice. Her talk was recorded and then obtained by Reuters. In the closed-door meeting, she is heard saying she has few options when an issue gets elevated to a national level, referring to the leadership in Beijing.
The room, the political room for the chief executive, who unfortunately has to serve two masters by constitution, that is the Central People's Government and the people of Hong Kong, that political room for maneuvering is very, very, very limited.
2 days later, Lam announced the formal withdrawal of a bill that would allow the extradition of suspects to mainland China, one of five of the protesters' demands. She said in the meeting she had gotten hints from Beijing that they would not send their army into Hong Kong.
Because they know that the price would be too huge to pay, not only for Hong Kong, maybe they don't care about Hong Kong. But they care about one country, two systems. International profile. It has taken China a long time to build up to that sort of international profile.
And said Beijing is willing to play the long game.
Up next, the UK government's internal documents raise fears of a no-deal Brexit, warns of food and medicine shortages, widespread disruption and protests. More details after the break. More than a week after Hurricane Dorian, authorities in the Bahamas say at least 2,500 people are still missing, and the death toll of 50 is expected to rise significantly.
Authorities in the Bahamas are working to put together a picture of the human cost of Hurricane Dorian more than a week after it ravaged the country. On Wednesday, they said some 2,500 people are still missing and at least 50 are confirmed dead in the wake of the country's most powerful storm on record. That number is expected to rise drastically. Bahamian Prime Minister Hubert Minnis says the government is ramping up efforts to find those who had died.
We will first and foremost put the priority on notifying families and giving them the help they need to grieve. Many are in despair, wondering if their loved ones are still alive. We will need as many spiritual resources as we will need physical resources to rebuild lives and to recover. Fellow Bahamians and residents, Hurricane Dorian is an historic tragedy.
Minnis has also called for a national day of mourning but did not specify when, saying flags will be flown at half-mast on all public buildings to mourn the dead. Dorian decimated houses and left an estimated 70,000 residents homeless before moving towards Canada. Emergency officials say large tents have been put up to house the newly homeless in the capital, Nassau, and there are plans to erect so-called tent cities to house thousands of survivors in one of the hardest-hit areas.
The British government's own documents for a no-deal Brexit describe major disruption to cross-channel traffic, affecting the supply of medicine and certain types of fresh foods. The documents also say that protests and counter-protests are likely across the country, accompanied by a possible rise in public disorder.
The British government's worst-case Brexit scenarios makes for a bleak read. Potential panic buying and public disorder. A no-deal departure could mean severe disruption to cross-channel routes, problems for fuel, medical and fresh food supplies, and protests and counter-protests across the country. Operation Yellowhammer was published on Wednesday after a request from lawmakers. Prepared on August the 2nd, it says public and business readiness for a no-deal outcome would likely be low. The document states lorries could have to wait up to 2.5 days to cross the English Channel, and British citizens could face more immigration checks at EU border posts. Disruption could last a possible 3 months. Information sharing between police and security services would also be affected. Documents from Operation Yellowhammer first came to light in the Sunday Times newspaper on August the 18th. Michael Gove, minister in charge of no-deal preparations, said then that the document was not up to date. Despite handing the information over on Wednesday, he refused to do the same with advice from government advisers about suspending Parliament, saying it would be an inappropriate and disproportionate use of parliamentary procedure and the individuals would have no right to reply.
Up next, Cuba faces energy crisis, communist regime to implement emergency measures. That and more after the break. Communist-run Cuba is facing a looming energy crisis due to a lack of diesel fuel.
On Wednesday night, Cuba's president warning the country about the upcoming emergency measures.
There may be tense situations in the distribution of some products and the provision of services because they depend on transportation that uses diesel fuel and on public transportation.
The aim was to avoid blackouts, he said, adding that if it came to that, it won't be as long or as intense as those of the special period, a reference to the severe economic depression Cuba went through in the 1990s following the collapse of the Soviet Union. Cuba's centrally planned economy has faced an economic crisis since 2015, following a decline in the supply of oil from Venezuela, forcing the government to adopt severe measures.
Firefighters are facing an increase of violence against them in France, including a new form, ambushes in no-go zones. But the French government announced new measures to protect them. NTD's David Vives has the details.
Mobile cameras to defend against the attacks. This new technology, which is not very far from the GoPro, is the new solution from the French government to repel this new type of violence against firefighters. The number of violent acts against them are increasing across the nation. According to statistics from the security minister, more than 2,000 firefighters have faced attacks during their operations in the field since the beginning of the year. According to a report from the National Institute for High Security and Justice Studies, over the last 2 years, firemen are facing a new form of attacks, genuine ambushes in no-go zones. Young people summon the firemen, then attempt to assault them by throwing rocks from their roofs or burning their fire trucks.
The violence can take several forms. It can be from a drunk who the firefighters have come to rescue, or someone violent trying to take the firefighter's life.
In September 2018, young firefighter Jeffrey Henry was stabbed to death by someone who called the firemen to them. The government then took new measures, including self-defense training for firemen and police escorts in no-go zones. According to police syndicate leader Mikel Torres, no-go zones are dangerous even for police units. We never intervene in a no-go zone except if the firefighters or emergency medical services call us to. And if we do, it's very complicated. Our vehicles are easily assaulted, so we need to mobilize a lot of policemen. The new mobile cameras may facilitate firemen who file complaints to identify those who perpetrate the crimes against them.
And coming up, award-winning film Origin Bound ahead of its New York City premiere. Exclusive interviews with the actors. Find out what they have to say when we come back. Three three-time runner-up France heads to the Rugby World Cup in Japan, hoping against early defeat.
A loss to Argentina in their opening game might lead them to being knocked out in the pool stage for the first time. Les Bleus, who are ranked eighth in the world, have been well short of their best over the past few years and lost in the quarterfinals at the last World Cup, matching their worst performance in World Cup competition. France will also face England, Tonga, and the United States in their competition bracket, but it is their group opener against the Argentina Pumas on September 21st that is likely to determine the fate of the team. But in their last 10 meetings, they have beaten the English only three times. Nonetheless, they are a good mix of seasoned players and youngsters, and have player Louis Picamole, who will play in his third World Cup.
Actors of the award-winning feature film Origin Bound speaking about what makes it so inspirational ahead of its premiere in New York this weekend.
With 12 international awards, New Century Films feature Origin Bound tells the story of Howard Wong, megastar actor who has it all. But that all comes crashing down when he discovers he has late-stage lymphoma.
Origin Bound is a really lovely movie. I'm touched by the personality portrayed by the lead actress myself.
Based on true events, the 75-minute inspirational film already has a multitude of awards from around the world.
In order to convey positive and uplifting messages to the audience, I felt myself being purified and improved in so many aspects.
Origin Bound will have its New York premiere at the Anthology Film Archives, September 14th and 15th.
And that's all for now. Join us again this evening for your NTD News. I'm Tiffany Meyer.